Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
There you are, standing somewhere in the shadow. I just want to say to you today that lift your hands out toward AJ and me, please. Would you do that? And say, God, use them. Because today, we go to another level of worship. Now, get agreement with somebody beside you. Go, we're going to another level today. We're going to another level today. All right. It was just, when Pastor Josh came to me and Pastor Corinne and said, Bishop, would you cover today? And I don't know whether they didn't think I could do it or not, but he said, why don't you use AJ? And I said, well, that would be way too powerful. And so AJ and I have had a phenomenal relationship with a lot of different hats, one of them be father and son. And for
long time, yes.
And I'm so proud of AJ. AJ founded the Epic Foundation. They have now gone over giving 500 kids scholarships to college. Oh, yeah, that's something. Yeah, that's something. Thank you, Minerva. Yeah, yeah. You changed their lives. You changed their lives because they're kids that most of them wouldn't be able to go unless you and the incredible team that you have put together. So today, we're in the third part. AJ, we're going to talk about what is worship, what is not worship. Now, we both stand here today as the product of very strong mothers.
Very, very okay? strong mothers.
Mother Yvonne was AJ's mother. Ernestine, my mother, Yvonne's in heaven. My mother's 93, still rocking. And now, I'm going to tell you what she did teach me. She teaches me if you're going to go to church and you're going to worship, give it everything you got. Every time she sang a song, our family traveled and we did music together. She said, if you're not going to give everything you got, don't even get up there. And then we would go to the music room every week to learn news. You know about the music room, right?
I know about the music
room. And she would put a belt on the piano. Oh. And I would say, Mom, what's that for? And she would just go, motivation. And sometimes.
This is exactly where, this is what, there's more that connects us than
divides
us. And the dynamics of our heritage, our backgrounds, and these strong mothers who grew up in the faith.
Yep.
We know there is a scripture that they took very serious that spare the rod.
Spoil.
So child. Our mothers put the D in discipline. For real.
No, but everybody goes, wow, watching you play the horn, watching you play the sax. Well, I wish I could do that. Now, let me explain that to you. I wanted to go out in the yard and play. Right. Music was not number one for me. Music was number one for Mom. Therefore, it was number one for me. And I just want to say to you, raise up a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. And I want to take you to John, the fourth chapter, the 20th verse. And I want to take you here, and I want you to see our fathers. Now, Jesus is talking, you remember, to the woman at the well. And he says, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say the place where one ought to worship is in Jerusalem at the temple.
Powerful message, and this is only the beginning, because what if the word for you today is here?
Yes.
And this is a divine appointment. The principle from that scripture, there is spontaneous worship, but you should always have a sacred place in your life.
Where's your sacred places?
Places. I appreciate you saying places, because there's multiple, and there is a surrendering. So if it's in the midst of my car while driving to University of Miami or wherever the case may be, we all know that there's that experience, there's that those music, those songs that at times we may attract.
Right.
And they not necessarily be the right songs, but at the end of the day, there's that intimate place of worship that is more.
And so I asked you this week, I said, AJ, what song moves you?
Well, we played it today.
And that's why I said, Johnny, we have to play this song, because you got to know what moves you.
Yes.
Because the principle is this, you usually find what you're looking for.
Right.
And I'm always looking for the presence of God. I need you to turn to somebody and say, I'm always looking for the presence of God. Now, Jessica, you're going to love this, because every time Sonny and I watch a movie, and we've recently got into these Korean movies. Now, I want to tell you about the Korean movie. All of them clean. You don't have to censor any words out. No sex scenes. It's just, it's beautiful. And you say, well, it's a little corny. Well, some of you need to get a little corny. And it's so, we will watch it, and I will go, stop, Sonny. Did you hear what God just said right there? You get what you're looking for. And I'm looking for worship wherever I can find it. With me, it's in the tub. Now, if you see me come to church and, like, my hands are shriveled and you can see I've been in the water a lot, you should feel really good, because something great is about to happen. You have to know what atmosphere to put yourself in so God can move upon you. And some people, it's different. I'm living in the smallest place I've ever lived. Got a condo, and out of every window is water. Now, the Bible says, Genesis 1, verse 2, and the Spirit hovered over the face of the deep. First time we see God moving on water. Now, with me, you have to find what is it that moves you. Because if you don't find that, then you're open for other things to move you. Okay, AJ.
So in John 4, verse 21, it says,
right.
Jesus replied, woman, believe me, a time is coming when God's kingdom comes, when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Verse 22 continues, it says, you, Samaritans, do not know what you worship. We, Jews, do know what we worship, for salvation is from the Jews.
I want you to look to somebody beside you. Everybody brings something to the table. If a righteous person steps unto the Lord, you're sitting by that person today on assignment. You're sitting by them because they have something you need. The rest of that principle, I want to say to this, is prejudice will kill your worship. Prejudice will kill your worship. Jesus was a Jew, and she looked at him and said, why are you even talking to me? I'm a Samaritan. Jews don't talk to Samaritans. I promise you, if you have prejudice, God's going to use that person, that thing, and you're not going to get your miracle until you deal with the prejudice that's in your heart.
And speaking of prejudices, this past Wednesday was Juneteenth.
Yes, Juneteenth.
Yes, that reaction, you know. And there are such dynamics, and I'm right here, because no, the dynamics of the things that divide us.
Yes.
And I said in an opportunity to speak, what if we were more than just a color? What was the intention behind the colors? And when you have the principle prejudice against the music, and we know, I'm not as young as I used to be. Y'all know we get to that point where all of us say, man, what do these young people listen to today?
Right.
Even though our parents used to say the same thing.
Well, about you. About, that's okay. Right. That's right.
So the prejudice against music, styles, genres, light, smoke, sound, volume, personalities, and cultures with limits. It limits your worship.
Let me put it to you this way. You remember when those bands came out, everybody, what would Jesus do? Okay, let me just tell you. In your life, here's what will settle everything. What would Jesus do? You're doing something and you want to do your own thing and just go, wait a minute. What would Jesus do? Go ahead, AJ.
Principle, with the rule and reign of God's kingdom is in your life, worship begins to show up everywhere.
Sonny so taught our girls to worship. They would be walking down the aisle, the hall in the mall, and they would hear music that wasn't even Christian music. Michael Jackson would be singing, and I would just see their hands go up. Why? Because when Michael Jackson sings Man in the Mirror, I'm looking who's going to make a change. No difference. The world couldn't get any better until you look a look at yourself. I'm going to tell you something. I can worship in any time and anything. I was so proud of you, Hope, today. You came to worship today. AJ, verse 23. There you go.
The time is coming and is already here when the true worship.
What? When the who?
The true worshipers.
Everybody say true worshipers. All right, go ahead.
The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit from the heart.
That's from the heart.
From the inner self, truth. In truth. For the Father seeks such people to be his worshipers.
He does what?
He seeks.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Now, I want you to get this. I want you to get this principle. Half of worship is truth. Spirit without truth is dangerous. Yeah, right, Kendi? Because I got a word. I'm worshiping God. Well, first off, is that word the truth? The truth. The truth shall set you free. Half of it is worship. Half of it is truth.
Truth. And the truth, God is the creator.
That's right.
And if we can imagine life, and you say, we're playing checkers, God is playing chess.
Yeah.
And in this life, this chess worth we're playing, the truth is, it doesn't matter if you believe or not, you're going to be a pawn on this chessboard.
Yeah.
That he created.
That's right. That's awesome. Now, here's the principle I want you to see. If you want God seeking you out, I know the word says, draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto you. How would you like it to take it to a higher level where God's just seeking you out? Wherever you go, he's seeking you. He says, I seek those who worship in spirit and in truth. So how do we worship God in spirit and truth? Yep.
Without a praise team.
Yep.
Without a preacher. Without
yep.
A pastor,
yep.
Without
yep.
Pastor,
yep.
He goes where you are. He's where you are.
In essence, principle, true worship only requires you in the presence of God. It's just two elements, right? Here we go. True worship, Bill, is just you in the presence of God. And since the Holy Spirit dwells in you and abides in you, so does God. Now, there's something happening here at Hope.
Yes, sir.
I want you to tell them about it. Go ahead.
Think about the children.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now you're in my heart.
From the time we've been up here, we've been sharing the word. From the beginning, when we set an atmosphere of worship, who's right up here from?
The children.
Innocence
so good. Listen to this. You're going to love this. And Sonny, you're going to love this illustration. When I looked in the Hebrew on the word worship, it means, and I'm reading it, it means to kiss, like a dog licking his master's hand. Now, both of my daughters moved away, one to Ohio, one to Dallas. And I saw Sonny, and I knew something had to happen. Said so to fill the vacuum, to fill the void. And I did something that I never thought I'd do. I bought her a dog. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The relationship between this woman and that dog, it is worship at the highest level. This dog named Lulu, I don't even say that name. I just call it the dog. Because it, I don't even get involved. This dog worships her. I don't know how, because we made a hard rule, and that rule was completely violated. The dog sleeps with us. Not between us, but it sleeps in the bed with us. And all during the night, if Sonny moves, that dog starts licking. That dog starts licking. I'm grossed out, exactly. When she leaves and goes out the door, and I'm still at the house, the door, the dog just sits at the door. And I try to explain to the dog, she's going to be gone 3 or 4 hours. The dog, it doesn't matter, because there's no life without Sonny. Okay, yeah. I don't know how she does this, but Sonny can be walking across the parking lot, not talking. And she can sense, and she starts going crazy. And I go, what? Have you lost your mind, dog? Have you lost your mind? And Lord have mercy. In about 10 seconds, the door opened, and it's a reunion. Now, if that's worship, how do you feel about God? Are you looking for him? Are you at the door? When he's long and he's somewhere away, are you there? And you're going, oh, my God, if he'll just show up. And when he does, you can't get enough. Come on, John. I love him. But it's not just worship. It's true.
Worship. So how do we even identify this? How are we supposed to identify that we're in a true state of worship? Here at Hope United,
yep.
There are three words.
Uh-huh.
I've spoken directly with my two friends, Pastor Josh and Pastor Corinne, especially Pastor Josh. We've known each other since the early 20s, if not before.
Yes.
This is one of my best friends, literally one of my adversity contacts. So when I sit down, I said, Pastor Josh, what do you want Hope United to be remembered for?
Yes.
And Corinne, mm-hmm.
Worship.
Worship. In truth, just like the example of the dogs and puppies, there's a freedom that comes with that because of truth. How we identify this? We just had 29 years of hope.
Yeah.
Right? 29 years we had a worship night, and I can tell you personally, coming from these streets, being outside,
yep.
Coming in here, I'm in this posture.
Yes, you were.
Yes, I'm in the back.
Yep, you were.
I'm tired.
Yep.
That's where you want to be here.
Exactly.
But I come in
obedience.
And by the time I was done, we were up here, sweating, jumping, worshiping.
Hallelujah!
Freedom.
Yes, it is.
Freedom from everything that's out there. We can identify truth by his word. Mm-hmm. And even by definition, the word true, the opposite of fictitious, counterfeit, imaginary, simulated, pretend. And a lot of it has to do with that word right there, uncertainty. God moves all of that.
Yes, he does.
He moves all of that because he's the spirit of truth.
The principle there is, if God tells us there's true worship, Remember, there's probably, there is counterfeit worship. We'll talk about that in a second. 2 Timothy 3:5, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. Now, I grew up in Pentecostal church, so did you. People lost their minds, and they said it was worship. But it really was a trained response to things they had seen before for generations. Because the same way grandmama danced in worship is the same way your mama danced, the same way you got in front of the mirror and you learned the dance. OJ, have you just thought about this? The dance that the guys do in the end zone, when they do that dance, they got that from Pentecostal church. That's exactly where they got that dance from, because their mamas had them in church, and nobody's even brought that up. That is a Pentecostal, exactly that dance. They say it's worship, but it's not worship. You say, oh, that's in the Pentecostal church. Now, let me ask you a question. I said to Christian, so what song makes you worship the most? And Christian said, well, like a tent revival. And I said, well, Christian, why does it make you worship? He says, because, man, everybody starts jumping. Now, I appreciate jumping, but if it's just jumping, you're not worshiping. The music's moving you, and, baby, it's easy to get the music moving you here at this church. With this band and this worship team, and the sound and the way they rock this thing. Let me just tell you something. If you can't, okay. But that's not worship. That's feeling good. That's celebrating. That's praise. But the connection of your heart to Him, that when you get in that, I'll call it that zone. Okay. So what's the principle, AJ?
For worship, to be true worship,
what does that mean? How do you know if worship's authentic in you?
There can be an emotion trigger. There can be. But there's more.
That's right. And it doesn't leave.
It doesn't leave.
That's right.
It keeps going. It keeps elevating. When you see us get on this band, and Johnny, we're shot at.
He's coming.
One of those favorite songs, it'd be a whole remix here.
Right. Yeah. Matthew 15 says this, people honor me with their lips, but their hearts, yeah. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. Jesus called the crowd and said to them, listen and understand. There's a principle and a power. Well, I could worship at the house by myself. Whoa, let me tell you. The principle of worship, principle of the power in corporate worship, it's authentic individual worship connected with your brothers and sisters in agreement that makes your worship 30, 60, 100 times more powerful. So what's the principle?
Our threshold to start worshiping should be very low. That's a posture, that is a preparation.
So it,
very low threshold.
In other words, you're just ready to worship. Short fuse. Boom, you're ready to go. Worship. When Jesus ends this thing with the woman at the well, the woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And Jesus declared, this is it, guys. Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I'm he. Everybody says, he's already come. He's already come. Come on, guys. Come on, worship team. He's already come. That means last principle is worship should always bring you to repentance. Because if this is God, the closer I get to God, the more the light shines on me, and I see things I need to change. Anything that's messing with my worship, it's got to go. It has to go. Because I believe, everybody stand up. I believe that worship could get to the place that sickness couldn't be in the house. How could sickness stand in the presence of God? What about some of you struggling with your finances? How could poverty stand in the presence of God? It just can't. So today, I said to AJ, I said to the worship team, I said, guys, we can't just talk about it like he's not in the room. What we have to do is I want the greatest expression of worship you ever had before we leave. The greatest expression, steel yourself. Has God showed up and done anything miraculous for you? Has he done some miraculous things for you? I'm talking about, oh my God, I can't even get my, oh, I could just feel the testimonies just exploding all in here because there was no hope, there was no way, and God showed up in his presence. Now, I don't need it to be visitation. I need it to be all the time. I want to be with him. I prayed the same spirit my granddad did on me. I said, oh, AJ, every time you blow that horn, every evil spirit, every tormenting spirit has to leave in the name of Jesus. Whenever you blow it, every evil spirit has to leave. Whatever's been tormenting you, worship it out of here right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever's been bothering you, whatever depression has been on you, whatever stress has been on you, I want you to lift those hands and just begin to worship.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.